seated, and we're going to have, if Randy's brave enough, all the kids be dismissed. And we're going to be in the book of Galatians tonight. Galatians 5, you can see on the screen, living a life of victory. That sounds pretty simple. Galatians 5, living a life of victory. This chapter, the part we're going to get into, is about midway on down. And we're going to be talking about the works of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit. And what the fruit of the Spirit is, what it means. And I'm actually, depending on how things go, there's nine fruits of the Spirit that's listed here. It doesn't mean it's an exhaustive, complete, exact list. But it lists nine things as a representation of what we should be expressing as a changed child of God. And we're going to be going through these in detail, but I'm only going to go through the first one tonight, which is love. But before that, we're going to get into the scriptures in Galatians chapter 5. We're going to start with verse, I believe it's 16. Galatians 5 and 16. That old flesh is hard to overcome, isn't it? Thank you, Kevin. Two of us are sinners in here. That flesh is hard to overcome, isn't it? It's even when you're saved and following the Lord, that old flesh rises up. And that's why we have the Holy Spirit. That's why the Lord sent the Holy Spirit to us, to indwell us, to fill us, to lead us, to teach us, and to govern us. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit, we love to feel His presence, and we love the gifts the Holy Spirit produces in our lives, but we're not going to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the fruit, and there's a difference. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, and what every believer should be expressing in their lives as a changed creation. We should be producing these types of fruit as a believer if we've truly been changed. Now you're saying, why are you going to this? I've heard this before. Because this is what gives us victory in this world, to begin to operate and let those fruits of the Holy Spirit reign in our lives. That's what gives us the victory. Because we're always going to war against the flesh. And maybe your thing is not, maybe your sin's not a, or maybe your addiction or your problems, maybe not a sexual addiction. Maybe it's not a lying thing. Maybe it's not a lust thing. Maybe it's not a greed thing. Maybe it's not a gossiping thing. But there's other things too that we battle in the flesh. There's things called gluttony, right, that we battle with all the time. How many diets fail? The world's got a $1 billion market on exercise equipment, gym memberships, and diet programs because they fail, because our flesh eventually gets weak. We can go all we want to Village Inn Pizza and swear on our grave we're only going to get a salad bar. How possible is that truly is? That's hard. You may go intentionally get the salad bar. I'm getting nothing but a salad. And I've done that a few times. I've had the willpower to go in a few times and only get the salad bar. But only a few times. I go in. You can see that salad bar, I'm going to eat healthy. Then here they bring those pizzas out, and they're smoking with steam. And you see people pulling that cheese and stretching off that pan so far, they're back in their bench sitting down, the cheese still stuck in the bar. I mean, it's stretching, and it looks good. And you're like, man, I only want salad, but man, that pizza sure looks good. See, as the old saying, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. We all have battles with our flesh. We all have battles with doing what's right versus what's wrong. Let somebody cut you off in traffic and see how much religion you really got. Let somebody go by and do something stupid or sit at a red light and then it turns green and they don't go. Do we wait patiently? Do we give a gentle honk, honk? Or do we, red, move it, idiot! What do we do? Boy, your point is, Sam, we need to pray for you, brother. We all, see, Sam knows I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to turn the other cheek. That car's not going. Maybe they don't see it. Maybe they got an emergency phone call. Maybe they dozed off. Maybe they have cataracts and can't. I don't know. So I'll just gently toot, toot. You know. But that flesh gets involved, and man, we just want to go after it like a bulldog, don't we? Because our flesh rises up. And I don't care how saved we are, how sanctified we are. I don't care if you talk in tongues 24 hours and jump the pews 34 hours. You're still going to battle the flesh. Because things rise up that get in your crawl. And all of us have certain buttons that when they're pushed, we go off. And everybody's got different buttons. And the devil knows what those buttons are. So the Holy Spirit's a part of our lives to help govern us through those things and to help lead us and teach us to produce the fruits of the Spirit as evidence that there's been a changed creation and to point people to our God. It's pretty hard. I mean, you know, I'm going to tell you that, Sam, don't put no bumper sticker in your car and say you're a Christian, okay? I'm just saying. Honk if you're a Christian, I am. Be very careful of that. How many times you seen cars with all these religious stickers on there and they act like idiots and using all kinds of sign language? Really? Okay, I'm following you to heaven? We got to be very careful we billboard ourselves with, because it can come back to bite us. We're not perfect. We never will be perfect. And we'll always fight the flesh. We see every man of God throughout the Bible listed of their falls and weaknesses and things they had that they did wrong. Even Peter denied Jesus 3 times. He denied him. Why? Because his flesh became afraid. Because the guards came to him. Now, what would we do? Think about this. Put yourself in Peter's place. You know, you're on your job working, and these armed guards come in, and they say, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Yes, I am. Well, deny him, or you're going to prison now. What would we do in that moment? Would we stand up for Jesus? Or would we be like Peter and get a little scared and say the kind of, you know how you do the pinky, you know, when you lie, you cross your fingers? No, mama, I didn't eat that cookie. No, mama, I mean, like that means anything. I mean, really, that takes away the lie. Here was Peter. I don't know Jesus. No. But inside, Peter's praying, Lord, you know I'm your homeboy. You know that. I just don't really, you know, I don't want to go to jail. I don't get killed. But you know I love you. No, I don't know Jesus. And Jesus had so much compassion and love. He understood that. He understood his weakness and his fear. He even told Peter, upon what you have saw, I'm going to build this church. And Peter became one of the greatest leaders of the New Testament, even though he denied him. God understands our weaknesses. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit, to help us and empower us and equip us to overcome the works of the flesh. So what we got here is the works of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit. So let's get into Scripture. Verse 16 in Galatians 5, if I can read this. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You want to have victory in this world, we have to walk by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says if we walk by the Holy Spirit, we won't fulfill those works of the flesh. Doesn't mean we're never not going to fail or we're not going to give in. But it means that we will not habitually, on a regular basis, live a lifestyle in the flesh if we are allowing the Holy Spirit to govern us. But see, we've got to listen to that. We don't want to listen sometimes to the Holy Spirit. We don't want to listen to that inner voice or that consciousness that says, no, don't, or no, this is wrong. Sometimes we override that voice. Sometimes we don't listen to what it's saying. And that's when we fall, when we fail. Paul is saying, if you will walk by the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean we always go around with our eyes closed praying? Of course not. This is talking about we allow our lives to be governed by the Holy Spirit and not by the work of the flesh. No longer by what Satan says, but by what God has done. No longer by what Satan whispered in your ear, but by what God done in your heart. We follow that because the Bible says we're a new creation in Christ, that old things have passed away and all things become new. So it means I have help now. I have help because of the Holy Spirit. God didn't leave us helpless. That's why he says, I'm sending you back a comforter that will teach you and show you all things. Go back and wait on that promise. And when it comes, see, the Holy Ghost was not for the purpose of having a big tongue talking day on Pentecost, which is wonderful as evidence that had happened, but that wasn't the purpose of it. The purpose of it was to equip mankind, to equip us with what we need to stand against the devil's weapons and say, I will not bow the knee anymore to the voice I'm hearing from you. I've been empowered with the Holy Ghost to say, no, I'm strong enough in him to resist you and you must flee. I can't resist him apart from it. But through the Holy Spirit, I've got the power to come against him and overcome what he's trying to bring into my life. That's the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. Letting the Holy Spirit guide our thoughts, guide our heart, guide our words. Everything we speak, everything we say, everything we listen to should be governed by the Holy Spirit. There have been times, not always, I'm ashamed to say, not always through my life, but there have been times that me and Melanie have sat down and watched a movie and the language was so coarse, we turned it off. Said, we can't watch this. Turn it off. Not always done that. I've been a bad boy too sometimes. But there have been times I felt quickened. I don't need to hear that. We don't need to watch this. And, I mean, we're adults. We can do what we want, right? We're big back. We're over 17. We can watch what we want without apparent consent. But when the Holy Spirit begins to convict and you feel that feeling, listen to it. We can override it, church, absolutely. The Holy Spirit's not going to come. That not one time the Holy Spirit come while we sit in the living room and take the remote out of my hand and tell me I'm changing the channel, stupid, you're not listening. Not going to do that. But what it does do, it brings awareness in my spirit that what I'm doing is wrong. And then I've got a choice. I can keep doing it and be miserable, or I can listen to it and be blessed. Sometimes I listen, and sometimes I'm miserable. And I think we're all that way at some point of our lives. That's the purpose of walking in the Spirit, being in tune with God's will. See, when we're walking in the Spirit, we're in tune with God's will. When we're not walking the Spirit, we're in tune with the world. That's why even professed Christians are living like sinners. They're not letting the Holy Spirit govern them anymore. They're professing Christ. They're saying, I'm saved. They're saying, I go to church, I'm a believer. But you look at the fruit they're producing and the lives they're living, and it says anything but that. It says opposite of what their profession is. Why would they say they're a Christian but not live like a Christian? I believe many have made a real profession. I believe many really want to, you know, do right and live for God. But they're allowing the world in there and not the Holy Spirit in there. Because I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Spirit will stop you, you know, or speak to you to tell you to stop when there's things in your life that are wrong. And sometimes we don't want to give those things up. So we just don't listen. Kind of like your kids. You tell your kids all day long, don't do that, don't do that, don't ever do this, ever do that. What do they do? Everything you tell them to do. Don't your kids do everything you told them not to do most time? At least try or experiment. It's the nature and the cycle of what life is. And that's how God is. Look, I'm telling you, don't do this because there's a consequence. It may seem pleasurable, it may seem okay, it may seem innocent, but there's a consequence to every action. People don't understand that there are consequences to sin. It's not that God's bad and controlling and doesn't want us to have any fun and enjoy life. Just the opposite. Just like a parent raises their kid. Why do we raise our kids not to do drugs, not to drink alcohol, not to smoke and kill their bodies? And, you know, why do we tell our kids those things? It's not to be in control and say, I'm the boss and you're not, and I'm making your life miserable. It's because we know the consequence of those decisions. We know the outcome of what that's going to produce. So we're having foresight and love for them in teaching them those things. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It brings that into our lives because it knows the consequence. And it wants to keep us. See, the Holy Spirit's a protector. It protects us from those potholes the devil tries to set and those traps he tries to set if we will listen to it and be in tune with it. But to tune in to the Holy Spirit means we've got to tune out the world. And that's what's hard, especially with social media. There are Facebook addicts. There's going to be a group soon called FA, Facebook Anonymous. Facebook's 10 years old, I heard this week. Turned 10 years old. This young kid's a billionaire because of it. Man, one idea is all it takes. You know, Mary, one, the rubber band, the paper clip, the staple, you know, sticky notes. One idea. Can we not think of one idea to be a millionaire? I mean, one idea. Social media now has obsessed people. Tweet accounts. And if you've done this, I'm not saying to hurt your feelings. People ask me to you know, as request me to be in the tweet thing. Look, I don't want y'all following me around all the time. I ain't got time. If I'm going to the refrigerator to make a bologna sandwich, I don't need to know that. make a bologna sandwich. Man, Oscar Mayer's good. OMG. That changes your world, don't it? Wow. But we have tweet, and we have, of course, Facebook, and, of course, you still have, you know, email, and we have, you know, Skype, and we have tablets, and we have iPhones and iPads and, you know, whatever. I mean, we got all this I stuff. And notice how it's I. What is that significant thing? I, right? I. A self-absorbed world. And you know what? We love it. We love our technology. But what it's done, if we're not careful, we're not having any intimate time with God because that's drowning us out. Because we got to see what Sierra had for dinner tonight. I don't like seeing pictures of people's plates. And I see it on Facebook. Me Pablo's. Click. I know what Mexican food looks like. I eat it. I don't need to see it on Facebook. Really? If you need something to do, come see me. Because I got plenty I can put you to do. We got selfies now, right? And yes, I know that word, selfie. We post ourselves in the bathroom mirrors, you know, reflecting ourselves. Selfies. My goodness. Why don't we take some of this time and walk in the Spirit and hear from God? We have 24-hour news networks. I remember no older than I am, as a kid. Now, young people ain't going to understand this, but as a kid, you only saw the news one time a day, pretty much. 6 o'clock in the evening, the news come on. And boy, if you missed it, you just didn't know what happened that day. I mean, that's all there was to it. Now there's 24-hour news and media and stories all over the world at your fingertips. Can pull up right now what's happening in Hong Kong. Any moment. What's happening in Germany? What's happening in Mexico? And we're absorbed with that. Walk in the Spirit means we must be in tune with God again. We must get all these waves of the world out. I mean, television. I remember a day you had three channels. ABC, NBC, CBS. That was it. Three channels. And then it had a few more. If you had rabbit ears, you could pick up with a certain position with tinfoil wrapped on the ends of them. Remember that? To get certain channels. I mean, crazy. I remember that day. And I remember a day. Remember this day? Let's go way back. You had to get up and turn the channel. By hand, I mean. With a knob. No batteries. No remote. Dad would say, go change the channel. Go change the channel. Yes. And you had that long cord that went from the kitchen to the bedroom. You could brush your hair and talk on the phone at the same time. That cord went 10 miles, some of them. Remember that. It's amazing how things have changed in a short amount of time. We have become so absorbed with the world, we've forgotten how to walk in the Spirit and depend on God. Next verse, this is 17. For the flesh, let me just read from here. I ain't got my little glasses on. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these two are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do what you want to do. What Paul is saying, you got the flesh, just like the old cartoons, devil on one shoulder, angel on one. Old Tom's about to catch that cat. Little angel says, no, Thomas, he's a good mouse. The old devil, you're a cat, get him. And then they poof off in smoke. Which one are you listening to? Because they're both warring against each other. Man, the flesh will do a lot of bad stuff, even after you're saved. Church, I'm telling you, even after we're saved, we are weak in the flesh if we are not walking in the Spirit. If we are not staying in tune with God, the world comes right back into us like it does anybody else. And it don't take long to get off track. It don't take long at all to get off track. Because there's a battle always going on between good and evil, right and wrong. God's nature, sin nature. It's always going on. It'll be that way until our final redemption. If you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now this goes through some few things. Once again, this is not an exclusive list, not an everything included list. Just kind of a, you know, Paul's using some examples here to give us an idea of what he's talking about. Now, these are the works of the flesh. This is what he's saying. When you are letting the flesh run your life, this is what you can produce. Things like this: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, which means lewdness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, which of the time past, I told you before, in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I want to make this very clear. Oh, Lord, I was drunk last night. I ain't going to heaven. It's not what it says. Paul is using an example here that if we are living a life still practicing and living this way, if your life's defined by this, if someone looks at you and you are living a life of adultery, drunkenness, fornication, lewdness, uncleanness, if that's your life, then there's not been a change. If there's not been a change, then you can't see God. There must be a change before you see God. That's what Paul was saying. We all sometimes fall into these traps, but those of us that are his don't stay there. We recognize that. We realize that, and we come out of that, and we ask God, forgive me. What am I doing? I don't mean to be in this season or doing these things. God, forgive me for that. Don't be deceived. That's what scares me about the world I'm seeing, because, man, everybody's saved now. Brother Kevin, everybody's saved. Everybody knows God. Oh, yeah, I believe in God. You going to heaven? Oh, I'm going to heaven. Yep, I mean, perfect example. In other words, no real relationship. It's kind of like people that you call them your association versus your friends. Somebody you went to school with. Oh, yeah, I know them. Was your friends? No, we weren't really friends. I know who they are, but I wasn't really friends with them. In order to see Jesus, we have to be in a relationship with him. He has to be our Lord. We have to be his child. He's our Father, and we're his child. That is a relationship. And if you're not in a relationship with God, then you are not in God at all. I mean, you're not going to see God. So Paul was talking about people that practice these things, do these things. That's what the flesh is. This is the life before the change. This is the life before salvation. This is the life apart from the Holy Spirit. And you know what? Without the Holy Spirit in our lives, wouldn't we, a lot of us, could be reverting or operating in some of these things even now, apart from the power of the Holy Spirit keeping us and helping us and strengthening us. Remember King David, great man of God, loved God, had a heart for God. But he got his eyes on Bathsheba, didn't he? And he couldn't get that out of his mind. And his thoughts, his lust, his imaging eventually produced action. And not only did he commit adultery, but he committed murder because of it. God loved David. David's with the Lord. But see, David lost that walking in the spirit part for a while and got walking back in the flesh. Man, the flesh doesn't produce anything good. There's nothing in our flesh that produces anything really good. There's always a consequence with it. It may be fun at the time. It may seem good at the time. It may seem like we're having a wonderful time. And in my generation, I'm 42 years old, and I'm seeing in my generation people my age act like they're back in high school. I don't understand that. You know, I'm talking about a man. I see these kids act like they're back in high school, out running around and just living like they're 18 again. Wild. Banging their kids. I mean, I see parents drinking with their kids, smoking pot with their kids, going and sharing tattoos and piercings with their kids. I'm like, you're the example. Really? You're the example. What is going on with our generation? Because we've left walking in the spirit and we're walking in the flesh. And we walk in the flesh, then all of a sudden we're doing things again that the flesh gives us. And then you know what? There's always a price we pay for doing that. I brought this up a few weeks ago. Y'all seen the commercial, right, of the guy that had the dolphin and rainbow tattoo on his face? Big old dolphin and rainbow. It's all right here. It's a Jack in the Box commercial. The commercial opens up by saying, did you make some wrong decisions last night? Yeah. And the girlfriend, the wife, everybody's looking at her husband, at the guy, and starts crying because she's looking at him. It's a dolphin rainbow tattoo. I mean, if you go get one there, would you get a dolphin and rainbow? I don't know. Dolphin and rainbow. So she's looking. Then she says, let's go get some breakfast, honey. I trade the car for the tattoo. Oh, my gosh. You trade the car for the tattoo? It just kept getting worse. When we walk in the flesh, we make some stupid decisions. Because you know what? Our flesh, really, if we want to really get honest, I better stand back here, y'all. Get mad at me. I'm just saying, I'm talking me too. I'm throwing me out there. When we are truly just living in the flesh, we're not a whole lot different than the animal world, are we? What do animals do? Their nature is to kill, eat, mate, do what comes natural to their flesh. There's no moral consequence in their mind. When we allow the flesh to rule, we're just doing things with no moral regard to a consequence. We're living as if there is no consequence, and there's always a consequence. And that's what God wants to keep us from. It's not God is punishing you. It's not God's getting back at you. God's doing this to you. No, God's trying to keep you from it. He's trying to keep you from it. If there's a hot stove in your house, the burner's on, Mandy's mom says, Mandy, the burner's on. Don't touch it. Ain't it on? It's on. Mama, I can't believe you did. I didn't do it, Mandy. I told you not to touch the burner. It was on. You were stupid enough to touch it. If God tells us something and gives us instructions and then we're stupid enough not to listen to it, we pay that price. God's not doing it to us. He's trying to keep us from the consequence. He's trying to keep us from the punishment or the danger or the reaping. God doesn't enjoy seeing us reap bad seasons. He wants us to walk in the Spirit so we can clearly hear Him. If we're walking the flesh, we can't hear Him. The flesh is in the way. But when we walk in the Spirit, we got a clear understanding of what God wants and what His will is for our lives. We may not like it, but we understand it and we hear it. Now here it starts that we just read about the works of the flesh. Fornication, adultery, drunkenness, reveling, lying, you know, all that stuff. But now here is what the Holy Spirit produces in our lives. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, which means no laying on of horns and making hand motions. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. See the polar opposite. You go from adultery, fornication, reveling, lewdness, nastiness, uncleanness, drunkenness, to love, peace, meekness, long-suffering, temperance, joy. So we can't truly have peace and joy as long as we're in the flesh, because there is no peace and joy in the flesh. But there is peace and joy in God. There is peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, go to the next slide. Oh, they that are Christ, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Paul is saying, if we say we've been changed by God's Holy Spirit, then let us not just say it. Let us be governed by it. Let us show it. Let us do it. Man, it's easy for us to say, I'm a Christian. I love you. I'll be praying for you. And there's a switch turns on sometimes with us, and we're like the Incredible Hulk. We go from that mild-mannered, regular guy to this beast when we get mad. Because we've stopped allowing the Holy Spirit to govern our lives and lead us. We're allowing the flesh to rule. If we say we have the Holy Spirit, let us live by it, so other people can see our lives. We are the best testament other people will see. They will see how you live much more than they hear what you say. I promise you. Your example is more powerful than even your word you tell them. I said many times, we can say all we want. I mean, if you're at home and you tell your kids, look, kids, don't ever drink. Don't ever start drinking or whatever. You know, drink is bad for you. Don't ever drink. Hey, son, look at me a beer in the refrigerator. Okay, Dad, you said not drink, but you got beer in the refrigerator. Yeah, but you don't do it. Which one's more powerful? The example. The example's much more powerful. Jesus was an example on the earth for all of us. He was an example of love, forgiveness, mercy, healing, compassion, love. Jesus was an example. And we are to be that same example. When the woman got caught in adultery, everybody wanted to stone her. Everybody wanted to crucify her. Everybody was ready to run her out of town or rail. Everybody was like, this nasty woman caught in adultery. What do we do? The law says she's to be stoned to death till she dies. What do you say, Master? And by the time it's all said and done, all the accusers had fled, and she was forgiven because Jesus loved her. The same way with the Samaritan woman who had all these men in her life, and the Master was talking to her. And people talk, why are you talking to the Samaritan woman? Jesus, you didn't be talking to a Samaritan woman. I've come to give her something that nobody else can give her. I've come to give her living water. She'll never thirst again. Jesus was the greatest example we have. You're saying, yeah, Pastor, but he was Jesus. He was perfect. Yes, he was. But you know what? He sent back his Spirit to live inside of us. So we have an active, living force of God in us right now, if you're a believer, to lead us, to guide us, to equip us, and to empower us. That when that challenge of the flesh arises, we can say, hang on a minute, let me tune back into the Spirit. Let's hear what the Spirit's got to say. Let's see what it's got to... Remember the old eight ball we grew up with as a kid? You shook it and you talked into it. You had a little thing it told you. I used to love those things. Had the eight ball. You would say, am I going to get a girlfriend today? It is possible. You remember those? I used to love those eight balls. As a kid, you know, you believe that stuff. A little triangle would float in the little water and you'd be like, you know, am I going to do good on my test? Yes. And man, you banked it, you know? You know what? We have the Holy Spirit to ask. Okay, Lord, I feel a challenge coming on. I feel weak. This temptation. See, temptation itself is not a sin. Even anger itself is not a sin. It's the sin that follows anger or the sin that follows temptation. That's the sin. And so when that arises, we then say, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me. Show me. Govern me. Guide me. Close my mouth or open my mouth. Everyone's applicable at that moment. Whichever one it is, open it, close it. Lord, ordain my steps, ordain my feet, ordain my words, ordain my thoughts, ordain everything I do, everything I say, everybody I speak to, ordain the way I walk, ordain the places I go. God, ordain me, cut the path before me, and just lead me, and I will follow. You, God, cut the path, and that's the only path I'll follow. If I'm on your path, it's the right path. Be governed by the Holy Spirit. Let it govern you again. That's where we need to be as a people. That's what gives us victory to overcome in this life. We can overcome if we'll listen to the voice of God and quit listening to the voice of the world. The world's going to tell you everything's okay. Nothing's a sin. Nothing's wrong. Nothing's immoral. What you want to do, do it. That's old school, old days, yesterday, old time. We don't know it. No, no. All that's lies of the enemy to deceive and to try to destroy the people of God. But if we will be governed by his Holy Spirit and say, God, you speak to me. I want to hear you. But do we really want to hear God? Because if you do, he'll speak. If you don't, he'll be silent. We can tune out the voice of God or we can bring it in loud and clear. God, speak to me and show me the way. Show me, God. Show me what you want me to do. Show me what you want me to say. Show me how to pray. Show me how to preach. Show me how to sing. Show me how to worship. Show me where to go. Show me how to witness. God, show me what to do. And when we do that, we'll see the hand of God show up and we'll hear his voice speak to us exactly what he wants for our lives. But we've got to want to hear it and not just tune it out. The world seems to offer a lot more good stuff. You got a slice of Village Inn pepperoni pizza in one hand. You got a Brussels sprout in the other hand. Just by a show of hands, honestly, now be honest, is anybody going to pick the Brussels sprout? Sierra? What pizza place do you like? Okay. You got Papa John's pepperoni pizza in one hand, a Brussels sprout in the other hand. Is anybody going to pick the Brussels sprout? Y'all are just being, are y'all Baptists? All right, look, here's the deal. The good-looking pizza looks nice and good. But that pizza is full of cholesterol, trans fats, carbohydrates, all kinds of junk that make you fat, right? The Brussels sprouts, God's natural product. Though it tastes nasty, it produces vitamins and nutrients and great stuff, and I guarantee you won't gain an ounce eating Brussels sprouts. You look like Brenda. You won't gain nothing. Yeah, sorry, darling. That's the devil. He makes this look really good. Oh, this is good. Look at that woman, that man, that place. That's what you want. That's what you need. Just indulge in that. That's going to satisfy you. But when you bite into it, you feel the sickness right away. Whereas the Brussels sprout might be a lot less appealing. But when you eat it, you feel satisfied and feel good about yourself and what you've done. The devil's offer is going to look awful nice. But they always have a bite in them. It's like the Snow White story, right? The apple. Just eat the apple. Eat the shiny, wasn't it Snow White? Eat the shiny apple. It's good. Let me pause. Eat it. Don't it look juicy? Oh, yes. Oh, I feel sleepy. I'm going to lay. Just lie down. Go to sleep. About killed her. He says the apple day, keep a doctor away. Just play. It about killed her. That's what the devil does. He presents this pretty stuff that looks so good. But one bite can change everything. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Live your life of victory. Overcome the works of the flesh by operating in the fruits of the Spirit. Instead of letting hate ruin your flesh, let love. Instead of fear, let peace. Instead of a bad anger or temper, let meekness and patience be there. Begin to operate in the fruit. Exchange that. Well, see, here's what happens at salvation. Here's what should happen. When someone gives their heart to God, it's not always at once. It's not always instantaneously. I understand that. There's a transformation. But you come to the altar. You give your heart to Jesus. You're truly repentive. God's really drawn you. You're not doing it because of just, you really are drawn by the Holy Spirit. What happens is that old man, those old tendencies to adultery and fornication and lewdness and nastiness and all that junk, what happens? God begins to remove that out and replace it with his stuff. He moves the old enemy out and then puts himself in. So where you had all the lewdness and nastiness and all the drunkenness and all the stuff the flesh enjoys doing, God now has replaced it with joy and peace and long-suffering and love and all of that stuff. So then all of a sudden, you don't operate the way you used to. You now begin to show these other fruits. And that's where people recognize you've changed. What's happened to you? Because you used to, man, what happened to you? I remember when you were, yeah, I'm not that person anymore. What happened? I had surgery. Man, what kind of surgery? I don't want that kind of surgery. They gave you some pills or something for it? What was it? Yes, the gospel pill. Exactly what they gave me. And it was a wonderful thing. The gospel pill changed my life. Just take one. That's all you got to take. One time. And you'll be changed forever. Believe the gospel one time. Believe salvation one time. Believe in Jesus one time. And everything will change. Hallelujah. That is my message. I didn't get into the, I'll go into the love part. We'll get into that next Wednesday. I want to do a series on these fruits because I think it's important we understand what they really mean in our lives and how they empower us. So we'll get into love next week. The first one, which is love, which is a lot of stuff about love. But I have a couple things I probably typed into. Yeah. The Holy Spirit empowers us to overcome the works of the flesh and to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It empowers us. You know, you say, I'm just so weak. I just can't. I always fall. I don't know. I'm not strong enough. You're right. You're not strong enough. But the Holy Spirit is. We lean on that. It's kind of like how a wife leans on her husband. You know, when a wife, you know, and there's times I've listened to Melanie, didn't give her any advice, didn't talk back. I just would listen to her. That's all she needed me to listen. Sit there for an hour, let her pour it out. I don't say anything. I don't tell her what she should or shouldn't do. I just listen. Now, between commercials, of course. I listen. I'm playing. I do mute it. I turn it off, okay? I turn it off completely. And I listen to her. And that's all she needs sometimes. And she knows that when she's weak, she can come to me. And I'll be strong for her. When my kids are weak, they come to me. I'll fight for them. I'll be strong for them. I'll bless somebody out for them if I have to. I'd die if I had to. Let the Holy Spirit fight for you. That when you're weak, you call on Him. I need you, Lord. I need the Spirit to take over. I need to walk in the Spirit. I don't fulfill what I'm feeling right now. I need to walk, God, in your Spirit. Help me. Show up on the scene and rescue me. And allow God's power to fight for you. Go to the next slide, Jeremy. We must listen and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. And we've got to listen to it and allow it. It's not going to force itself. The Lord's not going to force Himself on you. We must listen and allow His Spirit to lead us. We do not overcome anything if we are deaf to His voice. And there's many people that are deaf to His voice. Don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear no preaching. Don't want to hear it. We don't overcome anything in the flesh